Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
I'm sure you won't be surprised to know that Josh Allen is trending on Twitter right now. Only 120,000 posts about Josh Allen. I just would like to point out that I'm not one of those. I actually did not tweet about the game. I was, for the most part, on 9/11, I don't tweet a lot about sports. I did share our link to our interview from Sunday night show. And I think I retweeted our poll, which, by the way, is still live. The After Hours Monday MVP. We may have some write-in votes for the Jets rookie punt returner. You got to get to know the name Xavier Gibson. But that poll's still live if you would like to check it out on Twitter, After Hours CBS. But I try not to do too much tweeting on 9/11 about sports. It just is a time, I think, for me to reflect and for others. And so I kind of stay quiet, mostly on social. If you missed the pictures I put up on Monday morning, I would love for you to check them out on my Twitter. I didn't have a chance to put them up on Facebook, but they are on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and they are from my own collection, couple photos of the Freedom Tower in Lower Manhattan. And I said this on Monday morning as we were starting our final hour of the show. If you have never been to Ground Zero in the last 22 years, if you've not had a chance to visit Lower Manhattan, New York City, I highly recommend it. I know New York gets a reputation, but Ground Zero, where the memorial has been built and where thousands of visitors walk every day, it is worth the time. The reflecting pools are built in the footprints. In fact, they hang over the foundation of the original Twin Towers. The museum is full of artifacts and tributes to those we lost and to the heroes who served at Ground Zero. But also, the museum itself goes down below ground level. And when you're at the bottom of the museum, so down at the lowest point, you're actually into the bedrock. And you can see underneath the pools. So the pools don't actually go all the way down, right? They're suspended. The pools are suspended. And when you're in the museum and you get all the way down to the very lowest level of the museum, you're looking underneath the pools at the foundation of the original Twin Towers. So there is still rubble there. There's still, as I say, the bedrock there. And the reason you can get down there is because they had to dig deep, of course, not just for the buildings and their foundations, but because they had to build a wall to hold back the Hudson River. So they had to build a retaining wall and a wall that would protect from flooding when they were building up Lower Manhattan. And obviously, because these towers were so tall, they had to anchor them deep and they had to build this wall to hold back the water from the river. And so when you get into the museum and you go all the way down, I think it's nine floors down, maybe. It takes you a minute to realize what you're looking at, but you're looking at the pools that are suspended actually above your head. And you know, the base of the pools, and you're looking underneath it where the building stood, the actual footprint of the building, and there's still some rock that you can see that forms the, what's an enormous square, but forms those squares where the buildings originally stood. And the museum is sobering and it's somber, but it's also powerful and it's poignant. So I highly recommend not just walking through Ground Zero and seeing the Freedom Tower and some of the other buildings that are going up, but the Survivor Tree, which was a tree that in the middle of the attacks and all the fire and even as the buildings collapsed, this one tree survived. It was on fire, actually, and somehow it survived. And so it was removed from Ground Zero. It was nursed back to health, and it was replanted there as part of the memorial. And of course, there's a plaque there. They identified as the Survivor Tree. It's a pear tree, believe it or not. And it's beautiful now. It's got flowers and it's flourishing. It's grown back. I don't know how big it was when it was damaged, but it's worth seeing. The Trinity Church, which also suffered a lot of damage, just kind of kitty corner from where the Twin Towers stood. You know, a lot of buildings had to be condemned, even if they themselves were not damaged. The foundation was by 9/11 and by the towers collapsing. And so a lot of the buildings that were around that you would have thought were just fine and could be repaired, they had to be condemned. And the Trinity Church, which is a very old church anyway, it suffered damage, but it remained. It was just a lot to see and look at. And the spirit there is something like I couldn't really describe. It's powerful. So I did share some photos from 9/11. One of them, from September 11th, to go and see the Freedom Tower. Actually, when I was in high school, we took a class trip to New York, and I was up on top of the South Tower. There was an observatory. I have some photos from my 35-millimeter camera when I was a kid that were taken on top of the Twin Towers. And I think last year I shared a couple photos from my mind going back to when I was a kid. They're now on my refrigerator in my house, but shared a couple original photos from the Twin Towers. But these are of the Freedom Tower, and one of them is actually from the Statue of Liberty. So I'm out on the Statue of Liberty, and I'm taking a photo of Lower Manhattan and the Freedom Tower skies above the rest of the skyline. So some cool pictures that I wanted to share, but seeing it every single day, now working in Lower Manhattan for the last 11 years, there's no way I could ever forget. And honestly, seeing the Freedom Tower every day, it never gets old. It doesn't. I'm so grateful that they built that building there, again, as a tribute and a reminder, but also as a symbol of power and rebuilding and resiliency, which is what we showed as a country and as Americans going back 22 years ago. So for that reason, I was thinking more about the anniversary than I was about sports tweets during the daytime. So I actually did not tweet about Josh Allen. I do not know whether Tom Brady was trending on Twitter earlier, but have you heard the buzz about Tom Brady? Maybe you've seen it on your own social now. I've had people who found us on both Twitter and Facebook asking whether or not Tom Brady might return as the quarterback for the New York Jets. That would just be, first of all, he said he's not in shape anymore and that he's enjoying retirement. He actually himself spoke about the ceremony at Gillette Stadium. So he's back to his podcast now, the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray and Larry Fitzgerald. And we'll get to that a little bit later on. But that was pre-game. That was before Aaron Rodgers went down. But he said to the crowd at Gillette on Sunday, and there may be some of you listening to our Boston affiliate or our New England affiliates who were there, he's not in game shape, he said. He said the run out onto the field, which was reminiscent of how he would run out onto the field for every game, and he would yell his classic "Let's bleeping go" and get the crowd whipped into a frenzy. He says the run took him a little bit longer because he's not in game shape anymore. Now, are we to believe that Tom Brady's getting fat? No, but I can imagine he's not putting himself through the same paces that he was when he was doing the TB12 method for the last, what, 20-something years? Maybe. Well, I don't know when it was developed, but he's been pretty seriously committed to his health and his fitness and his nutrition, avocado ice cream and such. But there are other quarterbacks that people are tossing out there. What about a Jameis Winston, I heard. I can't imagine the Jets go that route. But you know what else is trending? It's just getting a few posts. I'm not telling you it's getting a ton, but Colin Kaepernick is trending as well. Because every time a quarterback gets hurt, his name gets floated around. So Bills are not changing quarterbacks. Will the Jets bring in a QB, or will they stick with Zach Wilson? Now, Robert Saleh only told us that it's not good and the Jets fear an Achilles. We do not have that confirmed yet by an MRI, but that will happen Tuesday. I would not be surprised if I wake up to the bad news, to the definitive news about Aaron Rodgers. But yeah, Zach Wilson, who got benched twice last year for a team that finished, what was it, 4? I can't remember how many wins they had last year. But a team that I thought in the final month of the regular season would end up divesting itself of Zach Wilson. I thought they wanted to part ways with Zach. But because he is cheap, he's on his rookie deal, he costs them little money, and because Aaron Rodgers was willing to take a major pay cut, we found out more about that on Hard Knocks, they could keep Zach Wilson. And Zach and Aaron had a pre-existing relationship. They were buddies. They were friends. So then Zach, after taking over for Aaron Rodgers, how did it feel differently out there on the field and in the huddle, considering what you've learned maybe from Aaron since you started working with him?
A lot more prepared. A lot more prepared. And you know, the hardest part is now putting it into a game, and I got to be able to do that. And so going into this week, it's applying everything that, you know, he's kind of helped walk us through, and being able to watch him and the coaches, how they've handled this offense. You know, I got to be able to handle that efficiently.
It's zany. The whole thing is zany. Zany with Zach Wilson, who then did connect with Garrett Wilson for one incredible touchdown in the corner of the end zone. What a catch by Garrett. Maybe we can retweet it from the Jets Twitter account, Producer Jay. Wilson had an interception, and he also had some good throws. 14 of 21 for 140 yards, and the touchdown to Garrett, plus the pick, which was late in the first half. So now he takes over, and I would say the formula for the Jets should be the same. Without Aaron Rodgers, the formula for the Jets should be run the freaking football. And welcome back Breece Hall, huh? Remember he tore his ACL in, what was it? Week 7 last week, maybe somewhere around there. He carried the ball 10 times for 127 yards. He's the main reason that the Jets had 172 rushing yards as a team. We know the offensive line can be real good. And so for Zach Wilson, I would say don't try to do too much. Kind of like when Brock Purdy took over last year for the Niners. He stuck with the game plan. Obviously relied on the veterans and the weapons that he has around him. And yeah, use the O-line and the run game to make your life easier, Zach.
Huge, huge, especially just because, you know, divisional game and the Bills are, you know, a big-time team. I think our defense did an amazing job of getting turnovers, but we need to be able to capitalize on those more. We should be able to put more points up when they have four turnovers, but this is a huge win for us. And it's a long year. We got to take it next week.
Zach Wilson has become the leader of the Jets again. How strange is that? Really, really seriously strange. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. From the category of you can't make the stuff up, I trot that line out, I don't know, every couple weeks in the NFL season because it happens routinely that we get these moments where our mouths are agape. That's the only way we can process, you know, with your mouth open. What? What? And another one of those moments happened, just this kind of crazy full circle from Aaron Rodgers. Sure, it's devastating for Aaron and for the Jets. And I feel terrible for Aaron specifically. You don't have to like Aaron Rodgers to feel really crappy about what just happened. Four snaps in. But how about the Jets, too, trying to process their emotions? How about the Jets now looking at their season in a completely different way? And Robert Saleh, again, would only say that they do fear it's an Achilles and that they know it's not good. But at this point, they're waiting on the test that will take place on Tuesday. And so you get this incredible win, but then you remember.
That part sucks. I'm going to enjoy this win. Winning in the NFL is hard, regardless of who the quarterback is. Personally, I don't hurt for me. I don't hurt for our locker room. I hurt for Aaron and how much he's invested in all of this. I'm still going to say a prayer. I'm still going to hold out hope. My heart's with Aaron right now, not and nowhere else.
I like how he answered the question of how the team responded, right? And in the wake of that injury, because the cameras were on the Jets sidelines, you could see on Monday Night Football that it changed. Everything changed. Body language changed. And certainly the mood, the atmosphere inside MetLife changed as well. And yet I was impressed with the way the team, especially the defense, who maybe kind of set the tone, kept the tone, if you will, kept up the intensity, kept up the sense of urgency, and then the offense had to find its footing and get used to Zach Wilson again. And remember, Zach would have taken almost no snaps with the first team in training camp. Remember in OTAs, Aaron had the calf injury? He tweaked his calf. It was like the very first practice or something, and everyone freaked out. Well, he didn't miss any practices, like actual training camp practices. But maybe Zach Wilson takes a few snaps with the first team when he was unavailable for OTAs. But for the most part, Zach has not taken snaps with the first team in months. And then he's got to step into that huddle and try to get everybody on the same page. So I was really impressed with the way the team didn't miss much of a beat.
No one was fazed. And the way we came out in the second half with on a mission, you know, just picked ourselves up off the ground, and defense just getting stop after stop. Offense came out, bam, right off the bat, getting 3 points. The big turnover that resulted in the touchdown to Garrett. Just proud of the gritty, it was a gritty performance. Proud of the guys.
And the Jets are now 1-0. Not that the standings matter much at this point. But what did we hear from our friend Todd Bowles in Tampa? Actually, they weren't in Tampa. But what did we hear from the Buccaneers head coach going back to Sunday? And if you remember, they had to rally with some late points. Baker Mayfield helping to orchestrate that comeback in Minneapolis. And Todd Bowles, you know, never one to get too high or low, said,
good to know you won't go 0-17.
Yeah, good to know you won't go 0-17. So at least the Jets will not go 0-17. Although the Bills, I suppose, there's still that remote possibility. So the Jets and the Dolphins now sit on top of the AFC East, while the Bills and the Patriots are at 0-1. Gosh.
Hey, Cheetah. Let's get it, baby.
The story of it, Xavier Gibson. It's worth devoting a few minutes to. Just put yourself in his shoes. Undrafted rookie wide receiver out of SMU. Stands 5'9". Had to work his arse off just to make the team. And if you were watching Hard Knocks, you may remember the emotional moment when he found out that he would be retained by the Jets, not cut by the Jets. So we'll let you hear that, plus his reaction to a punt return touchdown to walk. Well, they didn't walk off the field. They leapt. They exulted. They celebrated. They skipped. They jumped. They ran. It was one hell of a moment to cap week one in the NFL. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, too, we now have a photo up of the purple beams of light from Lower Manhattan if you want to see what they look like up close. I got out of my car to take that photo for you, and I was really pleased with how clear the sky was because we've had a ton of thunderstorms and clouds, and so for the skies to clear on the night of Monday, September 11th, I had to stop and take a photo. Don't worry, I didn't create any accidents or stop traffic. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Sam wants the punt. Deep back to the rookie Gibson. Under the ball, looking into the...
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
Can I get a refill, please?
No one wants to get sidelined by COVID-19, including me. I've got my work, my family. I want to be able to keep my plans. I'm getting this season's COVID-19 shot. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. Learn about eligibility and schedule your COVID-19 shot on the CDC site vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Oh, look who's here.
Makes the catch against his chest, 35, breaks the tackle, 40, comes to the near side of the block with the 50, down the near side, the 40, room to roam, 35, 30, got a block at the 25, the 20, he goes inside the 15, breaks the tackle, 5, touchdown, the Jets have won! Turn by the rookie, Xavier Gibson.
have won!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Our friend Kevin Harland. You know, we went all of last season without having Kevin on the show. We will rectify that very soon. On the Westwood One Radio Network, I enjoyed listening to him and Kurt Warner for the first time this season. And yes, punt return touchdown in overtime. It's not something you see. If you had that on your prop bet, I would be really impressed. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to the Bills side of things. We haven't yet heard the reaction from Sean McDermott or from Josh Allen. So a lot still that we want to cover. But the big news is that the Jets fear a serious Achilles injury for Aaron Rodgers. And they're waiting for the MRI on Tuesday to confirm. But in the words of Coach Robert Saleh, it's not good. What is good is this incredibly sweet moment for Xavier Gibson. An undrafted rookie wide receiver out of SMU that was featured on Hard Knocks and had this cool emotional moment with Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas as they shared with him his fate.
What's up,
dog?
You good?
Good.
Oh yeah, I can't complain. You? You been nervous?
Man, am I?
How you feeling?
Feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
How
you think the preseason went?
It went pretty good, you know. Yeah.
Well, look, man. You know the odds are stacked against you from the jump, man. You did a lot of good things this camp.
Yes.
We appreciate your hard work. Just want to let you know, man. You're a New York Jet. Welcome to the team, brother.
Hey, appreciate it, man. I had a long 20-minute drive back.
I know.
No, you earned it.
Thank you.
You're gonna do a lot of good things for us this year. You got something to you. The way you approach a game with your intent, your mindset, and all that stuff, like there's no doubt in our mind that you're gonna maximize who you are.
Yes, sir.
You're definitely one of us.
Wow, I get chills just listening back to that from Hard Knocks on HBO, the voices of Robert Saleh there at the end, and Joe Douglas, the Jets GM. And then you hear Gibson himself and how thrilled he is, and it sounds like he had already gone home from practice, and they had called him back for an in-person meeting. I wonder if he had his playbook with him. But they validated his hard work and said, we believe you're going to do good things for us. We believe that it's going to be worth it to keep you on the roster, essentially. You are a New York Jet. And then, in the very first game, when they most needed a lift, Xavier is the one who comes through with the punt return touchdown for 65 yards. And, of course, he was the interview that everybody wanted on the field.
I just seen a ball in there. Knew I had an opportunity. Secured the ball, secured the catch first, and let the team work. And after that, it just happened.
What was that moment like for you when you knew, hey, you crossed the finish line, across the goal line, and you won the game?
Game time. And my boy DMI Shelton said, game time. And it was amazing. It was amazing.
On the Jets radio network, game time, game time. And then he's still holding the game ball, and he was asked what he would do with the football.
This is going to my mama. This
is, going to oh, is it really?
Yeah,
your mom?
This is going to my mom for sure.
Pretty incredible. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Game time.
Breece Hall certainly has overcome some steep odds and some major adversity after tearing his ACL, not midway through the season last year, but still had a long road to get back. And even in training camp, wasn't fully healthy, but was out there just running up and down the field on Monday night. Was pretty incredible. 127 yards for Breece Hall, including one real long run. But he wanted to talk about Gibson after the game.
Me and him have gained a really great relationship throughout training camp. And, I always talk to him. He always talked to me about how he's been doubted his whole life. And, you know, every time it's third down and our defense gets a stop, I always tell him, go make him pay. And it just so happened he got one today, so I was proud of him.
Yeah, pretty incredible moment. And yet, once the euphoria and the excitement in that moment, the adrenaline has waned a little bit, then reality sets in again that Aaron Rodgers is maybe done for the year. So, yeah, right on the heels of that, Saleh has to step up to the microphone and doesn't even wait for the question.
Concerned with his Achilles, MRI is probably going to confirm what we think is already going to happen. So prayers tonight, but it's not good.
It's all come back to Zach Wilson. I'm still processing, as though the more I say it, the more it will feel real to me, but it doesn't yet. Marco Belletti is here in studio. Man, what do you think? Which offense is in the most trouble? Chiefs, Bengals, Bills.
Bills. Because Josh Allen's been doing this for, it feels like, a year and a half now. All of that progress that he made of getting rid of all the bad turnovers and turning the corner for being the young quarterback that was turnover prone to the MVP candidate, all of it has come roaring back. And it seems like every time we watch him, he's making the same mistakes over and over and over. And as much as we want to say, well, you know, he's going to make plays and sometimes he throws into double coverage constantly. He's looking for things that are not there all the time. And now it's glaring, and it's a question of, I don't want to put it on one person, but
no.
It's a question of, is this the loss of Brian Daboll the last couple of years? And having that trust or whatever that is, that relationship that he had there, and Sean McDermott being more of a defensive-sided guy, and he lost whatever that security blanket was. Maybe that's as simple as that, or somebody's just got to sit him down and say, stop trying to be Superman. Just play the game. Don't do too much. Because some of his interceptions are rookie quarterback mistakes, and they need to fix that fast.
We'll hear from Josh Allen coming up. I suppose we could put other offenses in that question, except that there are really high expectations for Chiefs, Bills, Bengals because of what we've seen from them the last few years. Steelers obviously looked brutal against the Niners, but that has a lot to do with who they were playing.
Yeah.
The Eagles didn't look great against the Patriots either on Sunday. I know the conditions were bad, but they only had 3 field goals in the second half and a bunch of 3 and outs after they posted the initial lead, and that was based on Patriots turnovers. I'm trying to think the Giants, obviously. Not that they were ever a really high-scoring team. But
they were a playoff team. They got embarrassed on their home field.
Yeah, to have Vikings, all of those sacks behind that offensive line is scary for Daniel Jones.
I mean, the Vikings obviously came up small against the Bucs in a game at home with a high-octane offense that they just couldn't put more points on the board. I mean, there are a lot of it's week one. There's a lot of teams. There's a lot of concerns. To me, the Bills, though, I feel like this is a pattern. The Chiefs, you feel like they're going to figure it out. The Bengals, awful game, but it's the Bengals. Burrow didn't practice a lot.
Well, and remember, they started out 0-2 and then 2-3 last year.
Yeah, and they've been slow out of the gate the last few years. And again, the injury, too, with Burrow, you don't want to say it's okay, but at least it's somewhat understandable. The Bills, this is glaring. And to me, I felt like this night was all about the Jets and Aaron Rodgers and the feel and this is them being able to try to make a statement. 4 plays in, it was like you popped a balloon. The entire MetLife Stadium crowd, everyone, I can't believe this. If you're a Jet fan, just watch it. This is how it goes. And the Bills did not capitalize. They never took a chance. Every player to a man, you could see it. They looked like they saw a ghost on the sideline. It took them a while to regroup. Give them a lot of credit for regrouping. But in the time that it took them to regroup, the Bills allowed them to stay in the game. They could have took control. They could have put their foot on their throat, and they could have rolled the Jets in this game while they were shell-shocked. They didn't. They didn't take control. They didn't capitalize. And then Josh Allen just started to flat-out throw the football all over the place. It's not a good vibe from the Bills, who for the last couple years have had big expectations, have come up short, and then you had all that offseason nonsense with Diggs and Allen and McDermott. This was not a good way to start.
It wasn't. And they did, as Sal Capaccio pointed out, they did lose last year to begin as well. What I don't love is that Josh is still taking major hits. He gets out and he won't slide because, I mean, God forbid, you're 6'5", not going to slide. And I get it. He's competitive. He wants to get every last inch that he can. But that, to me, is also a major concern. He continues to get out and puts his head down and dives or rumbles or like tries to run guys over. I don't love that.
No, and at some point he has to stop becoming every option. He's the number one option, obviously, in the passing game, of course. He's the number one option in the running game as well. And at some point, for the Bills to take that step, to be able to become a Super Bowl contender, to be a team that can get there and win it, Allen can't be involved in every single play with his legs and his arm.
Yeah, he won't last.
And he can't make bad decisions the way he's making them. And they're awful. This is not like, well, you know, the ball got tipped at the... No. He's throwing into double and triple coverage. I mean, the first interception I'll throw out the window because it was like a punt. It was a third and whatever, 12. And yeah, it's basically like a punt deep down to the 7-yard line. That you can live with. You take a shot. It is what it is. The second one, how did you not see the safety in the middle of the field? He never moved.
Mm-mm.
It's not like, well, you know, he came over from the side. He never moved. He never saw him. And then the third one was awful because he didn't see the corner underneath and the safety over the top. Those are...
That's basic coverage.
Yeah, that stuff that you can't be in the league as long as he has been and as good as he's been and not recognize that kind of stuff. And you're giving the Jets the only opportunity they have to win this game. Turnovers. Because you saw it with Robert Saleh. They have no confidence in Zach Wilson. They didn't last year. They don't now. And you see that when they're, you know, in a tie game, they have the football first and 10 was like 2:10 left at their own, the Bills 15-yard line. They ran the ball into the line of scrimmage three times and settled for three because they were scared that Wilson would turn it over. You can't live like that if you're the Bills.
Mm.
You can't.
The game is actually being replayed now on NFL Network if you wanted to go back to the beginning before there were any scores. But yeah, Josh Allen has 10 career interceptions against the Jets. That's his most against any team. 10 career picks against New York. So the defense has had its way with him. And credit the defense for how physical a play. They sacked him 5 times. They hit him another 9 times. And he looked like he was expecting it late in the game. You'll hear from Josh Allen coming up, even as Marco points out his flaw.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, here to tell you about my new podcast, Search Engine. On Search Engine, we tackle the kinds of questions that keep you up at night. Like, why are drug dealers putting fentanyl in everything? Should we be worried that Elon Musk believes that we're living in a simulation? And, for the love of God, is it actually unsafe to drink the coffee on airplanes? On Search Engine, no question is too big and no question is too small. Listen and follow Search Engine with PJ Vogt and Odyssey Podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, well, well. Shopping for a car?
Yep. Carvana made financing a car as smooth as can be.
Oh, yeah?
I got pre-qualified instantly and had real terms personalized just for me.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
Well, I got to browse thousands of car options on Carvana, all within my budget.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
It does. I actually wanted a car that seemed out of my range, but I was able to add a cosigner and found my dream car.
It doesn't get much...
Oh, it gets smoother. It's getting delivered tomorrow.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today.
Pause and his faux pas, he was sufficiently self-chastising, self-degrading after the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
He's at his own 43. He's got a 3rd and 2. Looks at a 4-man front. There's the snap. Here they come. There he goes. Line drive far side. Picked off. Picked off on the far sideline by Jordan Whitehead. Number 3. He's picked off the Buffalo quarterback at the 43 of the Jets on the far sideline with a lunging pick.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
3 interceptions courtesy of Jordan Whitehead. Josh Allen turned the ball over a total of 4 times on Monday night, including a late fumble that was forced by Michael Clemens. And honestly, when you think about it big picture, the drive before that was the 3rd interception, right? So it ended with an interception. The Jets turn around and score on the Garrett Wilson touchdown grab, dynamic resistance and everything else. Great body control, certainly great focus and concentration to keep that ball in his breadbasket, if you will, even though it was moving around a bunch to make sure it never hit the ground. The Jets score, and then immediately Allen goes back on the field and fumbles. So on back-to-back snaps, he turns the ball over. And there were 4 of them total, which matches his career high. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Kevin Harlan with the call on the Westwood One radio network. It's good to hear his voice again, to be sure. Well, Josh Allen, we've heard it from him before, and he kind of feels like it's deja vu.
Trying to force the ball. Yeah, same shit. Same place, different day. I hurt our team tonight. I cost our team tonight. And it feels eerily similar to last year, and I hate that it's the same.
He says same bleep, same place, different day. Because the Jets, they have had success against Josh Allen. A lot of it has to do with the pressure. Not all of it. And honestly, that's no excuse, right? Just because you're feeling pressure doesn't mean that you need to chuck and duck. There's some bad throws, some bad decisions by him. And even if you are under duress or you're feeling rushed because your O-line, the pocket are not holding up, because you're already feeling the effects of 5 sacks and 9 other QB hits and passes defensed and pass rushers in your face, doesn't mean you should just chuck the ball up in the air or make a poor choice. And he knows that, and so he's taking this one on himself.
It's a good defense we played, but, you know, we can't play two guys. Can't play them and us, and I played us tonight.
Can't play them and us, and I played us tonight. I appreciate that he takes accountability. I do. But obviously it needs to change. His decision-making should not resemble that of a first or second year QB, or it shouldn't resemble that of Zach Wilson. This is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And when he is mentally focused, making smart choices, and using his physical skills, talents, abilities, not to mention his experience, his toughness, he's an MVP candidate. Except there are times, and it's happened a bunch in the last, not last season, but the year before. And I remember distinctly because I had him as my fantasy quarterback and he didn't have a great year. There was a bunch of turnovers. Sal Capaccio told us that the Bills are willing to take them. They're willing to take the bad because there's so much good. And I would agree. But in this particular case, all 4 turnovers are his own, and they lead to 13 Jets points. The Jets don't win this game if they don't have the points off turnovers. And so if, at the very least, if nothing else, Josh Allen left the door wide open for the Jets. And if you want to go even more dramatic than that, he handed the opportunity to the Jets on a silver platter.
It's not like I'm going out there and trying to throw interceptions. Yeah, I guess we'll find out on tape and try to correct it, and got to correct it fast. We got a short week and can't let this game turn into two.
He knows he can play better. I know he's capable of playing better. He's capable of playing smarter as well. And he's got to do that for us to, number one, stay healthy, and then number two, to take care of the football.
Not sure if you saw the moment with Stephon Diggs on the sidelines after the fumble, so the fourth turnover. Diggs went over to him, made Josh give him the double high five, and I think he tapped him on the helmet, said a few words to him. And Dawson Knox said that he also spoke to Josh because he doesn't want him to be so hard on himself.
It's never on one person. I mean, that's what great leaders do, is take it upon himself. And he knows there's things we all got to work on, but it's never just on one person. It's never just on him. But that's kind of the nature of this business. You know, big wins, he'll get the credit, and big losses, he'll take the credit also. But a lot of things that we all can work on. So it's the first game. We're going to get the film. We're going to get corrections. We'll be back.
We made it, honestly, pretty hard on ourselves. We had to turn the ball over 4 times. It's hard to win in this league, and you're playing 2 opponents, the one on the other sideline and yourself, and that's what we did tonight. And that's not the right formula to win games in the NFL. All three phases, right? So you got to play complementary football, and we didn't do that either tonight. So we got to make the adjustments we have to make and get ourselves ready in a short week here.
The comments from Sean McDermott, we made this pretty hard on ourselves. And he doesn't saddle it completely on Josh, nor does Dawson Knox. But at the same time, he is their leader, and he does have the ball in his hands, and some of these poor decisions were solely on him. Now, the Bills are still one of the best teams in the NFL when they play the way they are capable. And Deion Dawkins, he's one of the veterans.
Wins and losses, man. The last time I remember is you don't have to be undefeated. Like, just the way it is. Like, we would love to win them all. We would love to score 1,000 points every game, but it's the NFL. It's the hardest game in the world. You win, you lose, you have good plays, you have bad plays. You just hope you have more good plays than bad plays when the clock hits zero. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah, Todd Bowles told us at least we're not going to go 0-17.
To know you won't go 0-17.
Yeah, that's what you take away from week number one. I get it. The wins are very hard to come by in the NFL. Players will say that routinely. Coaches say it all the time. It's hard to win one game in the NFL, much less string together two or three or four. The Bills have a ton of experience. They have a great quarterback. They have a solid defense. They've got the moxie, the toughness, the leadership. But this was a rough way to start. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.